affordability is the real focus, it seems like, during the legislative session. But how do we accomplish more affordability, but at the same time, having more money put into things like education? And so I think this is an interesting conversation because I've heard about ECS funding really year after year for several years now. It's probably been more than that. But at least in this chair for WICC, I've heard about ECS funding many times. And that is, again, education cost share, the education cost share formula. Interestingly enough, the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities was up in Hartford this week, urging lawmakers to focus on the importance of properly funding ECS. And so joining me now to talk more about this is Joe DeLong, who is the executive director and CEO of CCM. Hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm great, Melissa. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, Joe, I'm going to start this off the way I always do with our interviews. Just in case people are not familiar, what is the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities?
We are just simply the collection of the 169 cities and towns across the state of Connecticut. We are a collective voice of the mayors and first selectmen and town managers and all of the elected officials within your local communities.
And you are not of a political party?
We are a not just bipartisan, I would say we are completely nonpartisan. And, you know, our board of directors, just to give you an idea, it's just interesting it's worked out this way. Since I've been here, our board president in the last 10 years, we've had 10 elected. We've had 4 years where we've had Democrat elected officials in charge. We've had 4 years where we had Republican elected officials in charge. And we've had 2 years where our board president was an unaffiliated local elected official. So we are a very bipartisan or even nonpartisan organization.
So CCM wanted to focus on this education cost share formula. And that might sound a little complicated for people who especially are maybe not aware of, like, I don't work in the education sector. And it wasn't until I got into this job that I understood it a little bit better. What is the ECS formula and why is it so important?
Well, the ECS formula, put simply, it's just the formula of the state's share of what the state pays out of state revenues to fund public education.
Got it.
So public education is really funded by two pots of money, the state share and the local share. The local share, of course, being property taxes, and the state share, of course, being the money that they send to towns and cities to fund public education through the general revenue fund of the state budget.
So when we say that we need to properly fund ECS, what exactly does that look like? And where are we missing the mark right now in Connecticut?
Well, it's, you know, first off, it's just having an intellectual conversation about affordability, because they're not mutually exclusive. It's not we have these affordability issues, but we need to put more money into education. We have affordability issues, particularly at the local level through property taxes, because the state has not adequately funded education. And so let me explain that. That formula that we're talking about has a foundational grant within it that says this is how much it costs to educate a kid. Now, nobody knows where the number came from, but, you know, it was developed years ago. That foundational amount has not changed since 2013. So at one time, the state was really working toward paying about 50% of the cost to educate a child. That today, because that has not been adjusted since 2013, those same dollars today are paying about 34%. So
wow.
In real dollars, in real terms, just to give you a direct comparison, we talked about this a lot yesterday. If that formula had been adjusted for inflation, nothing else had changed, just that foundational amount had been adjusted for inflation. So we're paying in real dollars today the same amount as we were paying in 2013. The state would be paying almost $900 million a year more than what it's currently paying.
Wow.
Now, when you hear that number, people say, well, by God, they couldn't afford $900 million. We need to control costs, all these different things. I want to put this into perspective.
Right.
During that same period of time, because inflation works both ways, wages go up, you know, those types of things. So your revenue collections at the state level went up. So today, the state is collecting in tax revenues almost $8 billion more a year than what it was collecting in 2013.
Oh, well, now all of a sudden that $900 million doesn't sound too bad at all.
No, and the amazing thing is, so think about this. They've gotten $8 billion of money that they didn't have in 2013 that they are appropriating and spending elsewhere and at the same time have made no adjustment to what they paid toward public education and have basically told the towns and cities, put
figure
it into
it
property
out.
Taxes.
Right.
Let's put it into property taxes. That's to figure it out. It's to put it into property taxes.
So there's a lot about that that bothers me, Joe. First of all, I'm wondering, and I'm not asking you to speak on behalf of the government, but 2013, you said, is the last time that we saw any kind of an adjustment, if you will, or we haven't seen an adjustment since 2013. So the other thing you got to look at is that that's 13 years of ignoring a problem that's gotten exponentially bigger. But in the meantime, we've allowed property taxes to go up and up and up and up and up. And so my question, I guess, for you is, you know, has this been, I would imagine this has been pitched before, but why has it not been adjusted? Why has the ECS formula been ignored for 13 years?
You know, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for using this analogy. It's a terrible one to use, but it's the equivalent of like ordering a hit, but not being the one holding the gun. So it's very, very easy for state leaders to make sure that those increases happen, but those increases happen at the local level. So they're not the one looking like they're raising taxes. They're not the ones who are actually paying for it. So you're forcing the rates to go up. You're forcing the property taxes to go up. But come election time, you go and you say, listen, I didn't raise the income tax. I didn't raise the sales tax. We've held the line on spending, you know, those types of things. It's disingenuous, but it's politics. And the politics are, if we can make the state budget look good on the backs of the towns and cities, well, that's the mayor's problem. What happens when the property tax bill goes out and people get outraged or they really get upset? Where does that show up in elections? It shows up in elections for mayor. It shows up in elections for city council. It shows up in elections for Board of Finance. When was the last time that people's property taxes went up and their initial reaction was, I need new state legislators?
Right. Right. That's true.
But really, it's That's state true. Policy that drives it.
That's very true. That's a very good point, Joe. That's a very good point. Joe DeLong is here, the executive director and CEO of the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, also known as CCM, which, again, gives a voice to all 169 municipalities. It is not of a political party. It literally is representation for all towns and cities across Connecticut. And, Joe, you were talking about the importance of properly funding the education cost share formula, also known as ECS. I got to be honest with you, Joe. This became something that I understood a whole lot better because I do a lot of work in Bridgeport in this job. And I was watching this kind of become a progressively bigger problem in Bridgeport, students falling more and more behind. And to your point earlier, it kind of falls on the towns or cities to fund, you know, education. And I'm curious what the reaction was. So you guys were up at the state capitol. You're talking about the importance of funding this. Are you getting a sense from lawmakers that this is something they'd look at? Because as I mentioned, it seems like the overarching theme of the 2026 legislative session is affordability. We have an affordability crisis in Connecticut. How do we attack it appropriately? And I would think ECS funding is a huge part of that. But I don't know what the reaction has been from either one side, both sides of the aisle, the governor. What has kind of come up, especially since you guys just highlighted it up in Hartford this week?
Well, I mean, I do think that we have supporters who understand it, and I do think everybody in that building understands it. But the reality of this is, Melissa, is it is election season. It's a political issue, and people who are running for office want to do things that they can score points on.
Right.
And a lot of times that takes us down a very disingenuous path. Mm-hmm. Now, let me give you some really quick examples. I don't know how much time we have. This is all interrelated. We've heard proposals, particularly from one side of the aisle, but it's come from both over the years, about eliminating the car tax to help with affordability. Eliminating the car tax does nothing to help with affordability. All it does is shift taxes out of the car, off of your car and into your home. For people who have a middle-class home and a couple cars, it probably breaks even. It's really not that big of a deal, and it's probably less of a nuisance for them, so it may be a good thing. But what it does is it gives significant tax breaks to wealthy people who have very expensive cars, and it shifts that money into the property of seniors who are trying to live at home and use public transportation who don't own a vehicle. They see their property taxes go up on their homes, as well as low-income renters. See, their rents go up because of a proposal like that, because that cost shift gets shifted into the building they're living in and gets baked into their rent. many of which, again, aren't paying that now because they don't have a car, because they use public transportation. So it disproportionately hurts those people the most. Nobody talks about that. On the other side of this issue, we've seen proposals that, yeah, we're going to spend some money and we're going to send you a $200 rebate check because of affordability. That solves absolutely nothing. Number one, you're driving up my cost by $800, $1,000, $1,200 a year, but you're going to send me a $200 check the week before the election. And oh, by the way, we're only going to do that 1 year because it'd be irresponsible for us to guarantee it for years beyond.
Well, I also probably got elected into the office, so I don't know you anything anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So we go all around the issue to try to do things that people say, hey, that sounds good, or I like what your idea is. It's a little more policy wonkish to be able to go and explain to people, I stabilized or lower your property taxes because I actually started paying the bills that the state owes. And that nobody really wants to have that discussion. It doesn't feel as good. It doesn't work as well in a one-liner eliminate.
You know what it is, Joe? You know what it is, Joe? And so you thought you were going to get in trouble for what you said earlier. I'm going to say this, and I'm sure I'll get in trouble for this earlier as well. Because in the radio world, I have about 6.5 seconds to grab people's attention to stay tuned in. That's just on average. So what I mean by that is if it's not a hook, if it's not sexy enough, if it's not something people are on average interested in, I lose listeners. And the same sort of thing happens, I would think, for politicians. So the reality is if somebody said, well, I was able to actually adjust the ECS formula, which is actually going to bring down your property taxes more, it's going to put more education dollars back into your school district, which is long term going to really help your kids, obviously, and it's going to help, you know, pay your bills, or your bills are going to come down. Try saying that in a quick headline.
It's
there is no
really
sexy
hard
way to do it. You can't do it. So it's easy to be like, eliminate car taxes, or, you know, here's $200 back, right? I mean, there's nothing that grabs a person. But at the end of the day, I know for myself, regardless of political affiliation, I'd want a lawmaker who's going to actually give me solutions and actually make me want to live in this state and afford living in this state and actually invest in our kids and the public education.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And that 6 second headline, it does go back to the fact we're collecting almost $8 billion more a year than we were in 2013, but in real dollars, paying almost $900 million less. That's going directly into property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, it is the single largest affordability issue that there is. It's the single largest budget item in local budgets. And if people want to know why their property taxes continue to climb and what can be done about it, that is really the single largest thing that can be done, is to start adjust that formula to where it needs, you know, to where it makes up for the sins of the past, and then tie it to inflation going forward so it doesn't do the same thing over the next 10 or 20 years that it's done over the last 13.
Yeah, I mean, I'm no politician, Joe, but honestly, if people hear this conversation and they are in an election year, I would jump on this and I'd run. I would run, because honestly, to me, this is something that I would at least dive into and look into and have real conversation about up in Hartford, versus maybe, and I always say this and I get made fun of, but having checkmark legislation, a little bill here, a little thing here, make some real difference and actually do something that could bring, again, your property taxes down, but also put money back into your school districts. And again, the ECS formula has not been touched in over a decade. And yet, in every facet of life, we talk about how, you know, inflation has been a thing and things are getting more and more unaffordable. But this has not been touched. And we're just supposed to kind of stick with the status quo. So, again, I'm no politician. But if you are one listening and you're thinking, what is going to be my ticket to a re-election bid or to, you know, people liking what I do, regardless of your political affiliation, this is a golden ticket. In my humble opinion, Joe DeLong, I just think it makes sense. It may not be the sexiest headline, but man, it would make a difference. It really would.
No, I completely agree, Melissa. I appreciate your time to highlight it. And I will say one last thing. You're going to hear from some politicians. Everybody has their hand out. Everybody needs more money. You know, there's a lot of different things we need to fund. My response to that is the only one of any of these things that's actually protected in the state constitution is public education. So it's not a handout. It's not somebody wanting more money. It is something that we are required to do under the Constitution, it should be the number one priority before all other monies are spent.
Well, and again, Joe, it's not just about education. You're also talking about impacting property taxes. So they do coincide. Right. So there is more than just the education funding portion of this, which is why I think it's something that lawmakers should at least be having conversations about it. And Joe, I appreciate you having the conversation here on WICC, and we'll certainly be in touch again really soon. Thank you so much for your time.